It is God's will for your prayers to be answered. He desires to talk with you every day. Find out more from Gloria Copeland as she shares the steps to walk in His perfect will for your life. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We are learning how to walk in victory this week. Hallelujah. Now, we're looking at 24 things to keep us in the will of God, to get us in the will of God, to keep us in the will of God. And they all come out of Romans 12 in the Amplified Bible. So now we are to number 13, but we'll go to verse 12 in Romans 12. In suffering and tribulation, be patient in suffering. And that is in verse 12. And so let's go the first place we want to. Now, what does that mean, be patient? Well, patience, let's look at James 1. James 1 says 2 through 4. Here's what we do in tests and trial. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you're enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Consider it wholly joyful. So immediately you jump over on the joy of the Lord. That's what the first part of that verse said. Exalt in your hope and joy. Consider it wholly joyful when you encounter trials. Verse 3 says, be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. And I can tell you that's the truth. Ken and I, if we had always gotten instant answers to every prayer, which would have certainly been our preference, we would not have learned how to endure patiently until the answer came. Be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith, so there is a proving of our faith, brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. And you can get to where you can endure until the answer comes, and you can do it in joy. Verse 4 says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Now, we can learn from that scripture that everything's not going to be instant. So every answer is not going to come instantly. So we might as well not be surprised or discouraged or put down. But we ought to stay. We ought to consider it joyful and be assured that that we're in the trial and proving of our faith, and we'll come out stronger. It'll bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what do you do in a test and trial? You consider it wholly joyful. And then you stay with what you believe from the Word of God, and you don't give in. We're to be patient in suffering. Patience, here's the definition of patience. That quality that does not surrender to circumstances. You should memorize this. That quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency. It is associated with hope. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's in there. It's born into your reborn human spirit. So we have it in there. We call upon it. It is a mighty force. It can stand until the answer comes. Look at Hebrews 6:12. I get excited about this because I know it works. In order that you, let's look at 11. But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence, that's another good Bible word, and sincerity in realizing, enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as those do who through faith and patience are the practice, who through faith and the practice of patient endurance are waiting and now inheriting the promises. So this says to us, and I think this is the way the King James reads, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. It's going to take the power of patience. But the power of patience is a fruit of your reborn human spirit. You have it. And so you just don't give in. You stay with it. You stay with the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Hebrews 10:35. Let's look at that. Oh, these have helped me. These scriptures have held me steady so many times until the answer comes. Look at 10:35. Do not fling away. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence or your boldness. For it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. So what is on the other end of steadfast patience and endurance? Receiving and carrying away and enjoying to the full the promise of God. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But the just, those that are born again, who are right with God, the just shall live by faith. So faith, and we learned from Brother Hagin that faith and patience are the power twins. You have faith and you have patience and you have results. Faith and patience are the power twins. Glory to God. The just, we don't fling away our fearless confidence. We keep our steadfast patience and endurance so that we fully accomplish the will of God. The just shall live by faith. Now here's the other option. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul shall have no delight or pleasure in him. Why would God not take pleasure in somebody who shrinks back? Because he can't give you the answer. You didn't stay with him long enough for things to turn around. You know, some people, they've spent 10, 15, some people 40 years getting their life in the bad shape that it's in now. And then if God doesn't get it turned around the first week, they want to quit. No, you've created things there. You've put in motion things that have to be undone. And besides that, if you want to receive supernaturally, you have to do it God's way. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. There's not a shortcut. That's just the way it is. The just shall live by faith. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul shall have no delight or pleasure in him. How come? Because he can't bless that person. But our way is not of those who draw back to eternal misery and are utterly destroyed, but we are of those. You and I are of those who believe and cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ and by faith preserve the soul. We are those who believe, and by faith and patience we preserve the soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our soul, our mind, our will. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit is a part of you. That's the real you. You have a soul, and you have a mind and your will and emotions. That's your soul. But by faith and patience, we preserve that soul. We keep ourselves intact until the answer comes. Now, if you'll feed upon these things, they'll become so real to you that you can do it. And you know instantly, I have to stay. I have to stay on this course. I cannot quit believing for my healing now. If I quit now, I will not have received the finished product. So I cannot quit. What are you going to do if you quit? I mean, what's your option? Nothing. You need to stay with it. You need to believe God. If you do that, you'll receive the answer. But if you quit, you've just let go of the promise of God. So really, there is no option there. Look at Colossians 1, and we will look at verse 9 and 10. I'm telling you, the Bible will stir you up if you let it. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And through 11. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you be filled. This is a good way to pray for people. other people and for yourself, that you be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and insight into the ways and purposes of God, that you may walk and live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work. And it's the will of God that your prayers come to fruition, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in the knowledge of God. We pray that you may be invigorated, and this is a good way to pray for people and for yourself. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Hallelujah. That's where the victory is. We stay in patience. We do not succumb to trial or let go of our faith, but we stay in patience until the answer comes. Bless the Lord. Faith works, but you have to stay with God's program. Now, Hebrews, let's see, did I get to, let me see if I got this verse. I think I got that. And then Colossians 1, I got that. Hallelujah. We stay with the program. Glory to God. Now, so we're patient in suffering. Patience is a quality that does not succumb, surrender to circumstances, nor succumb under trial. It's the opposite of despondency and sadness. It's associated with hope. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is born into you. Patience is in you. If you're born again, it's part of your new man. And so you can yield to it and you can call upon it. The 14th thing then in Romans 12 is be constant. This is in verse 12 again. So in verse 12, we have rejoice and exalt in hope. 11, 12 is steadfast in patience and suffering, patient in suffering and tribulation. When hard times come, patience comes to our rescue. Then the 14th thing is be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. Be always talking to the Lord. Don't go days without prayer. You ought to spend time in prayer every day. You ought to pray every time you get in your car and go somewhere. You ought to pray over it. Believe God for your safety and protection. Plead the blood of Jesus over the car, the airplane. Ken and I, when we used to ride the airlines, we would just receive that airplane. We'd be walking down that tunnel thing, going to the airplane. Ken would touch his hand on the side of it, and he'd say, I receive this airplane into my ministry. I bought a seat on here. I believe it. I take authority over it. We are going to the other side. Wherever it was we were going, we laid hold of it in faith. Of course, we still pray that in our own airplane. We pray it in our cars. We believe God. Be constant in prayer. God is always ready to listen to you. The angels are ready to help you. Glory to God. So let's look at James 5 and let's see what that says. James 5, 15, 13, James 5, 13. Is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering, or suffering evil? He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Hallelujah. So when we're sad and when we're happy, when we're afflicted and when we're free, we should pray. This 14th thing to stay in the will of God is be constant in prayer. And that scripture in James backs it up. Ephesians 6, look at that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can just get so on fire with God's word. And it's good for you. Stirs us up. Ephesians 6:18. I'm preaching to myself today. Hallelujah. Now look at this. It says pray at all times. Does that agree with be constant in prayer? I love the word of God. It's so exact. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. When things are going well, when things are going bad, pray. Hallelujah. In the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert. Keep alert in the area of prayer. Be quick to pray. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in the behalf of all saints, all the saints, and God's consecrated people. And then he said, and pray for me also, that utterance be given me. Don't forget to pray for the ministers of God, for the pastors and the evangelists and the prophets and the teachers of God, because they need to keep delivering the Word of God by the Spirit. Now, number 15 in Romans 12 says, and this is in verse 13, but it's number 15 on our list, contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, and pursue the practice of hospitality. So number 15 is give. What does the Scripture say about giving? Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. So even this part is for your benefit. When you give, more is given back to you. God, if you give $10, He doesn't just give you $10 back. He gives you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. So that has to do with our finances. It's good to have your finances in the will of God. Look at 2 Corinthians. I mean, you have abundance. When your finances are in the will of God, you have abundance. When you tithe, when you sow, you should be living in the overflow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a partner in your finances. I remember before we became tithers. And I can tell you one thing, it's much better to become a tither. That gets God involved in your money. That's one of my favorite subjects because it's so important, but I don't have time to talk about it today. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, whoops, I'm in 8. Hold on. Don't be impatient. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in and prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon and do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. God not only wants you furnished in abundance, but He wants you to have plenty of money to help His work. Every good work and charitable donation, glory to God. God provides seed for the sower, verse 10 says, and bread for the eater, and multiplies your resources for sowing. Hallelujah. Thus, here's the bottom line, this is the will of God for the giver. Thus, you will be enriched in all things, in every way, so that you can be generous. I tell you, you can't beat a deal like that. Now, look back at Romans 12 in verse 14. It says, Blessed those who persecute you. Oh, there's a lot of freedom in this. This lets you know that you don't have to be down. You don't have to be sad when somebody talks ugly about you or persecutes you. This says bless them. What do you do when you bless somebody that persecutes you? Well, you just bless them. You go right on. You forget them. You forget what they're saying. You don't pay any attention to it. You don't have to be sad about it. You don't labor under it. Ask me how I know. We've had a lot of experience in this. You know what we've been persecuted for more than anything? Saying God wants you to prosper. So let me just say it to you one more time. God wants you to prosper. Hallelujah. That is what the Bible says. He's always prospered His people. Glory to God. So I'll throw that in extra. So bless those that persecute you. That makes you go free. You don't have to worry about it. If you're doing the will of God and you're doing the Bible and you're preaching the Bible and people persecute you because of something that you see in the Word of God that they don't see yet, don't let it bother you. Just be glad that you see it and just forgive them and bless them. Lord, bless them. They don't know what they're doing. Just forgive them. And you can go free. And then the scripture says that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you look back at the history of the church, you would find out every person, every preacher who got a new revelation was persecuted by the people that didn't have it yet. So that's just part of it. And it's not anything to pay attention to. It won't slow your blessing down. It won't hurt you unless you let it hurt you. And you get sad and you get mad at somebody. Just bless them. Just go on. Bless those. Bless them, Lord. Those who persecute you. Hallelujah. Isn't that something that we can even go free in persecution? Verse 14 says, bless in Romans 12, bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude toward you. That could even be things that aren't spiritual things, just people talking bad about you. Just bless them. Bless and do not curse them. So we are told not to curse somebody that talks ugly about us. So we have to forgive them. So then we can go free. Look at, and then 2 Timothy 3:10 through 14 says, persecutions, suffering, such as occurred to me at Antioch, in Iconium and Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Out of them all the Lord delivered you. If you're persecuted, the Lord will deliver you. Now, I've got a note here to read, John 15:20. Let's see what that is. So the Lord delivers us out of persecution. We don't have to sweat it. 15:20. Well, what if you don't believe that? Well, then you can worry about it, be sick about it, be mad about it, and lose your blessing if you want to, but I'm not going to. John 15:20 says, remember, I told you a servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will persecute you. If they kept my word and obeyed my teachings, they will also keep and obey yours. They will do all this to you if you because you bear my name and on account of me. Glory to God, we don't have to worry about persecution. Oh, here's one I have to get this in. Luke 6. This is one of my favorite deliverances from persecution. I actually experienced this one day years and years ago. Here's what it says to do if you're persecuted. Now, this really works. Oh, they're counting me down here. Luke 6:22, it says, I don't have time to look it up, but it says, when you're persecuted, leap for joy. One day, years and years ago, I mean, you know, this was kind of new to us. This persecution thing was kind of new to us. I had seen that scripture where it said, if you're persecuted, leap for joy. So something came in. I was at the office. Something came in that people were talking about us. So I thought, well, the Bible says leap for joy when you're persecuted. So I got up from my desk and I just began to leap and to jump and to be happy. That's what the Bible says. Leap for joy. That's Luke 6:22-23. And then another scripture to look up is Psalm 31:20. Hallelujah. In the King James, it says, leap for joy. So we don't have to be bound by that. We can forgive. We're powerful. We can forgive. In Jesus' name. I'll be right back.
In a world out of sync, beating to its own rhythm, God has a different way for you to live, by His Spirit. Escape the detours, miss the wrong turns, and get your life going in the right direction with God's Word and the power of faith.
And you can walk in victory every day of your life in this earth if you will learn to walk with God every day.
Walk in the Spirit, a dynamic, life-changing teaching by Gloria Copeland, is just the resource you need to help get your life in sync with God's Spirit. You'll learn how to tap into all that God has planned for you, discover how to develop faithfulness to God, overcome the struggle to control your own life, find out how to live a life pleasing to God, and learn more about the benefits of living in obedience to God and His Word. Start living a whole new life today, walking in the Spirit. To order your copy of Walk in the Spirit, log on to kcm.org and order online. This dynamic CD series by Gloria Copeland is now available for just $16.99. Walk in the Spirit is a great teaching for anyone who wants to be guided by the Holy Spirit and walk out God's plan for their lives. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or if you prefer to write, the address is Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
Be sure and get the product offer, Walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you, that makes all the difference in the world when you learn to hear from God every day about the things in your life and obey it. You'll always walk in victory. Learn how to tap into the things God's planned for you. Get it, and then don't just put it on the shelf. Actually listen to it. Hallelujah. Now, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't want to go another day without it. We live in dangerous times. I was just listening last night to some Bible scholars talking about how close we are on television, talking about how close we are to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. Every person needs to come into the kingdom before that day. So I'm asking you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want Him, He'll come in and He'll help you in these areas that we're talking about. He'll be Lord to you and help you and reveal to you the things you need to do. Just say, Jesus, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it, Lord. I receive You today in Jesus' name. He will always take you in. He will receive you. You'll be born again. You'll begin to be different. You're different on the inside if you'll pay attention to it and listen and get further into the Scripture and into a good church. He'll begin to talk to you and tell you what to do every day. Now, these things are free. These books are free, How to Study the Bible and all these books. We want to give it to you. If you made that commitment today, you just write us and let us know. We give away 100,000 of these packages every year, and it is our joy and pleasure. We'd love to give 200,000, 1,000,000. Write us, and we'll give it to you free. Join me again tomorrow. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Dr. Don Colbert and his lovely wife, Mary. We just finished 2 weeks of broadcast in how to go from wherever you are to fullness of health, and you don't want to miss a word of it.
Be sure to mark your calendars for these special broadcasts.